This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself to see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Traditional banking sucks. A bunch of penny pushers with their ties done up to 11, charging you for accessing your own money? No thanks. That's why Chime is changing the way Americans think about banking. They offer fee-free rewarding banking and actually give you something in return for your money, rather than charging you to even look at it. They don't charge overdraft fees or monthly fees, and they have hundreds of free ATMs so you don't have to pay to physically touch your own money. In other words, it's built for you, not the one percenters. Plus, you get 5% cash back on Chime Card on a category of your choice. They even offer a really great savings rate of 3.75% APY. That's 9 times the national average. In fact, Chime members can benefit from over $1,000 of annual rewards fee-free. Friends in the US have told me they've never felt more in control of their paychecks. And who wouldn't want that? Honestly, guys, all of our American friends and most of our American listeners are already using Chime. And so should you. Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/redhanded. That's chime.com/redhanded. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on the J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Sura and I have always said the only way anyone could top Red Handed is if they watched RuPaul's drag show and somehow mixed up true crime and drag. But unfortunately for us, but luckily for you, somebody somewhere has. Starting today is a brand new podcast from Audio Boom Studios called Killers, Cults and Queens. It's part true crime and part truly fabulous. RuPaul's Drag Race UK star Cheryl Hole is being given a whistle-stop tour of true crime by spooky expert Nikki Drews. Together they're going to be travelling to the weirdest corners of the world and discussing everything from killer cults to paranormal ponderings. Killers, Cults and Queens is out now with brand new episodes every Thursday. So search Killers, Cults and Queens wherever you're listening to this and click follow so you never miss an episode. And luckily for you, you don't even need to leave our feed to listen to our exclusive first look at their first ever episode on the iconic Pizza Bomber. So stick around and make sure you have a listen. UK hun, love you Cheryl.
It's a warm early afternoon in August 2003 in the sleepy city of Erie, Pennsylvania. During the lunchtime rush at around 1:30, the phone rings at Mamma Mia's Pizza on Peach Street. Tony Ditmo, the owner of the restaurant, takes an order for 2 large sausage and pepperoni pizzas, but he can't quite make out the address that the customer is giving for delivery. So he hands the phone over to his colleague, Brian Wells. Even though it's the end of his shift, 46-year-old Brian notes down the delivery address, grabs the pizzas, and heads out. Just 2 hours later, a sinister scavenger hunt has resulted in Brian finding himself sitting in the middle of the street, surrounded by police, after just robbing a bank with a bomb cuffed around his neck, begging them to help him. The clock is ticking for him, but how did he get here? And was he an innocent man held captive, or was he hiding a secret? Let's find out.
Wow. 30 seconds in, and oh my Christ. So he went from a simple sausage pizza to blowing up a bank.
Well, not blowing up a bank, but robbing a bank. Oh. And he now has a bomb secured around his neck sitting outside the bank.
I really don't have any words already because I'm just so confused. Do you know what? Shall we do this? I'm going to make an executive guess. I think he was behind it all along. And then when we get to the end of the podcast, we'll see if I'm correct.
Oh, Cheryl is on the case.
Look, I've got my binoculars out. I'm looking from a safe distance because I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get my hands dirty. But I think from my executive decision from the jump is that good old Bri is a naughty boy.
Might have possibly had something to do with this.
Okay, right. Pizza, sausage pizza, bank, bomb. Let's go. Let's dive in.
Brian Wells was born on November the 15th, 1956, in Warren, Pennsylvania. He was raised in the Erie area of the state, along with his six siblings. He didn't really get into much trouble as a kid, but academics were not really his strong suit, and he showed up for just 39 days of high school before dropping out at just 16 to become a mechanic. But his career plans didn't last long, and he ended up working full-time at Mamma Mia's Pizza in the city of Erie as a pizza delivery guy, where he would work for decades. Brian was said to have been a shy and unassuming guy. He lived in a fairly normal apartment complex with his three cats. He lived frugally and didn't have a lavish lifestyle, choosing to sleep on a mattress on the floor, and was seemingly happy with his lot, according to his friends. His landlady and neighbour, Linda Payne, said that Brian was a kind but shy guy, and he apparently even took wheel trims off his car because they were too shiny. He's basically the complete antithesis of you and me. Nothing shiny, whereas we're all about the shiny.
Look, if you could see me right now, I'm sitting and recording this podcast in full drag. So I'm here in a head-to-toe rhinestone
catsuit. So, exactly.
I'm never going to, like, if you want the simple life in the words of Paris and Nicole, you do you, boo. Like, but I would like a bed frame.
Yeah. Like, yeah, me too. There's just little things in life that I don't think are too shiny, like having a bed frame.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
You could get a wooden one from IKEA, babe.
Yeah, exactly. Billy bookcase. Sort yourself out. Yeah, be fine.
Okay, so he's a shy and retiring mechanic who went to school for 37 days.
39 days.
Oh.
Given those two extras.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But gave up and went to work at a pizza place.
Mamma Mia's Pizza does sound like a lovely establishment.
Yeah.
And I can just envision, like, pictures of like Mario and Luigi on the wall, because you just hear like Mamma Mia.
Yeah, exactly.
Princess Peach serving you pepperoni.
On Sundays, he would invite his widowed mum over for dinner and a movie. But other than that, he was happy to be alone, telling his landlady that he would rather go homeless than move back in with his mum after he got into a car accident which wrecked his vehicle, and he had nothing to deliver pizzas in anymore. Brian was so unassuming and trustworthy, in fact, that his landlady, Linda, actually helped him buy a used car to get him back on his feet so he could start delivering pizzas again. And he eventually paid it back in full. He also only ever called in to work late because one of his beloved cats had died.
Oh, don't!
I know.
Oh, my heart is melting already.
But basically, he was generally a model employee. The only thing maybe a little bit out of the ordinary about Brian was that he was fond of hiring sex workers. He kept an address book with the names and numbers of the local sex workers in the area, and it was clear who his favourite was, a woman by the name of Jessica Hoopsick, which is a very unfortunate name.
Oh, God bless her. I hope she's got a good doctor.
Yeah, I'm going to need it.
Oh, no. Look, Nikki, I love you with all my heart and soul, but when you tease me like this, it's like you're twisting my knickers. I can't take it.
Brian's last day alive started like any other. He went to buy breakfast at McDonald's and then picked up the daily newspaper before heading home and essentially passing the time until work began. And it's then things take a turn. Remember that delivery he made at the end of his shift? Well, the address didn't turn out to be somebody's house. It was an old disused TV transmission tower at the bottom of a dirt track. I know. When Brian arrived at the address, he claimed he was jumped by two men who forced something around his neck, fixing it like a giant handcuff. Once it had clicked into place, it seemed to set off a ticking timer, and it was then he realised it was a bomb.
What in the saw is going on?
Brian was then given instructions for a scavenger hunt by the men and a list of four things to do. If he was successful in completing his tasks, he would find a code which would disarm the bomb, allowing him to unlock it. As part of his scavenger hunt, Brian is provided with a walking stick that is secretly a shotgun. And to be honest, it's very obvious that it's a shotgun. It really does look like one.
Yeah, Nikki, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think there's any disguising of a shotgun.
No, even as a walking stick. Because how are you going to hide that handle?
Oh, yeah, let me just hide the bullets. Let me just hide the trigger. It's just a piece of wood.
Yeah, it's just a piece of wood. It's not a problem. He was also given a T-shirt to wear that had the word GUESS in capital letters scrawled across the front in what looked like marker pen. And I got to be honest, since I learnt about this case, every time I see someone wearing a GUESS jeans T-shirt now, I think of this. And you will too.
Yeah, no, I'm never going to be able to look at GUESS ever again.
So, the scavenger hunt. Police found 8 handwritten pages of instructions and information. But let's first look at the rules. You must follow a course of instructions to find keys and combination codes to disarm the bomb. Do not insert keys into keyholes until instructed. Some keyholes are booby-trapped to prevent tampering. Drive 60 miles an hour throughout the course. Use only 2 or 3 minutes at each stop. A sentry will be watching at each stop to ensure you are not being followed. Bomb has tripwires. Forcing or tampering will detonate. All weapons, papers, containers, tapes, etc. must be returned to us. Each item you find after dropping money has a key and/or combination word. You will need to decipher the combination. This will disarm some tripwires before you unlock. This procedure is to make sure you leave no materials behind.
Do you know what I've just thought about?
What?
What happened to the 2 sausage pizzas? I'm not sure if it's because I'm hungry or I'm too traumatised by the intensive rules, but were the 2 pizzas just left at the tower?
So if this was you, you'd be like, all right, but first I'm having a slice of that.
Look, I've got to have my fuel. I've got to have my energy to go 60 miles an hour with my shotgun walking stick.
Or else this scavenger hunt is coming to an abrupt end because I'm hangry.
Look, I am a very hangry person. If I don't get some foodie woody in my system, it's game over. But, oh my God, these rules are insane.
I know. 8 pages of them.
That's a lot to take on before going and risking your life.
Well, and think somebody's just clamped a bomb around your neck and then they hand you 8 pages of instructions. I would not be reading that.
No.
I'd be going, panic on the tube. So trying to read like a map, for example, I would not cope.
I'd be like Gemma Collins, I'm claustrophobic. Yeah. But yeah, it's
I'm sick of playing games.
I'm literally gamed out from this scavenger hunt already. Search for Killers, Cults and Queens on your favourite podcast app and make sure you follow so you never miss an episode.